each day I'm going to try to have it out. Each weekday I'm going to try to have it out by 11 a.m., but today I'm going to try to have it out by 3. You will have our evening service tonight at 6 o'clock, so just please check in there, and you'll be able to access that as well. I think that's it for all of the announcements, so we're going to have Linda go ahead and do a special for us today.
When the trials of life get you down, and no peace in your heart can be found, when troubles everywhere abound, just trust Jesus. When people get in your way, and it seems like today, that day, when skies are cloudy and gray, in everything, just trust Jesus. Just trust Jesus. Trust Him with all your heart. Just trust Jesus.
Let us go over to Titus. Titus chapter 2 and verses 1 through 2. And thank you, Linda, for the special music. It was awesome and very encouraging for us to be able to have today. So as we get into Titus chapter 2 and verses 1 through 2, you notice that the title there is Word Infused Older Men. And I'm very thankful for Jim Hanley in helping me out with this illustration, in the sense of he helped find the definition online, which gives a very good picture. And although I cannot do it for you this morning, it's the word infuse. The picture there is the set a tea bag inside of some hot water and let it soak that up, the healing aspects of it, whatever might be in the tea, or those who might drink mate, for those who are from Uruguay. I loved it. Our missionaries, after the service last week, were sneaking mate behind their display there. I loved being able to see that. If you don't know what mate is, don't worry, it's not a drug. It's something that they drink all kinds of times, all throughout the day. They'll have like a little thermos in their arm and be able to carry that around. And they're very sharing, which I highly doubt they're very sharing right now. I don't know how it's affecting the Uruguayans right now in dealing with their mate. But just be thinking about that as the tea bag affects the water around it, so the word would affect those who come in contact with it. And you say, where are you getting this from? Well, in Titus chapter 2 and verse 1 through 2, I'll read this for you. It says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And you know that I've already preached on that verse and the fact that we are supposed to be word infused. But it says that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. And you say, so what's going on here in this passage? Well, actually, in Titus, in the next few verses, he will actually point out that the Word of God is going to affect several different groups. Older men, older women, younger men, younger women, those that are employed. I mean, it's just everybody. If you're a part of somewhere in that group, as the Word of God affects you. But you say, so when you're coming with this group today, does this apply to me? Well, the principles behind it will apply to you in different aspects. So be looking at that. So don't shut me off just because you're not in the older men group, or you don't classify yourself as the older man. Although this past week, 2 weeks, I have been called a boomer at least 5 times, even though I am not a baby boomer, okay? I am a millennial, and for some odd reason, I am proud of it at this point. And you say, well, all the millennials, they're out there partying at spring break. That is not millennials. The millennials are hiding inside their house, telling their parents not to come out, or not to go outside, okay? They're the ones that are hiding, okay? It's this new generation, is Generation Z, I believe, is the new generation. They're the crazy folk, okay? They're out, oh, I don't care. I don't care about people. I'm just going to party. This is my spring break, you know? We'll blame them for the rest of the coronavirus outbreak. But anyway, but you say, what happens? Well, if you ask some people, even though I'm 30, they call me an old man. And so I don't know, am I grouped into this? Well, as you see, back in this time period, who would have been the older men? Well, obviously, the life expectancies were a little bit different back then. So it could be all the way down to 50-year-olds, 40-year-olds, actually, as what some commentators would state. So when you're talking about older men, it doesn't say old men. It says older men, okay? So those that are older. So this is the age group that it's talking about here. But don't be self-conscious about this. This is not where you could step back and say, well, he called me an old person. This is not the time to focus on that or to shut me off just because you didn't like what I said in that point. Please listen to what God's Word has to state about how the Word of God affects you. Because when you come into interaction with the Word of God, it will affect you and those that are around you. a word-infused individual will be affected. And even if you aren't a part of the older men in this case, you get to see what God's Word states, and you get to exhort others in order to do those things. Okay? So be thinking about that. Don't get upset by what I'm saying here. This is the Word of God. I'm just trying to help you through this and how pertinent it is for this time period, because some people are stepping out and saying, well, our church isn't gathering. How can we go on? Actually, the Word of God is still in existence in all of our homes. And even you can access it through online. You can access it through apps on your phone. There is different apps out there that will even read it to you. I mean, there's no excuse for us to be able to stay out of the Word of God, especially as Christians. And if you're not a Christian here today and you're listening in to what I am trying to relay to you this morning, this can affect you. It's got to start with salvation, obviously. It has to start there. It has to start with you putting your faith in God because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross and how He rose again 3 days later. And we're going to be celebrating Easter coming up, but I think I celebrate the Christ being risen every single day. You don't have to just reserve that for Easter Sunday, because it affects every day of our lives. So the Word of God will affect us, can affect us, as long as we allow this. Okay? So as we get into this and we see about the older men and how it affects them, we say, okay, point number one, what is that? Well, again, we are supposed to be word infused, and since it's been a little while since we have been in this passage, I'll just kind of go over a little bit here. And we'll try to keep Bobby happy here, so I'll keep my sermon short, all right? But in verse 1, it says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. This is the Word of God. Speak the Word of God. Titus, give the Word of God. This is what's important. Make this a priority. You cannot sacrifice this. This is why Pastor and I have been trying to do devotionals just about every day. And starting today, having the kids and teens lessons, trying to get those out. And every day trying to give the Word of God, even out through, even though we can't gather necessarily as a people, we can't necessarily do that. We can still be affected by the Word of God. And so that's why we're trying to get it out there. But speak the Word of God. This is what is going to affect all of us. But as we get into this, this is not just for the responsibility of Titus, even though this letter is given to him. This is supposed to help us all out as we live our lives. And so this responsibility isn't just for Titus to be able to speak the Word. This is for everybody. And what we're focusing on here today is the older men to be able to give the Word. So if one person fails to give the Word, there's still plenty of people giving the Word to others and being affected by the Word, especially since it does have easy access. We have easy access to it in our day and age, especially as Americans. Okay? So this is supposed to be word infused, and how just as that tea bag is put into the water, the color changes, the taste changes, everything changes about it. Same way with the Word of God coming into our lives. We are being affected. Our life, our actions, our character is being affected by the Word of God. And even older men need to be interacting with the Word of God. You say, well, I know it already. I've been through it. I've gone to so many services. Long before you were even alive, Pastor Taylor, I've been going to services. And so therefore, I don't really need to read the Bible anymore. And this really isn't applicable just because I have older age. Listen, the Word of God doesn't cancel out just because you're older. And the Word of God still needs to be fresh. And since we're on the whole matter of tea, or even thinking of coffee, what happens when you forget that you made coffee? It gets cold. It's not it's fresh. And for me, after you make a warm cup of coffee and you allow it to get cold and it's been sitting for a little while, to me it gets a little bit stale and it doesn't taste as good. Now, some other people might have different opinions, but there's some coffees out there you let it get cold and you're just like, whoa, that is potent in one way or another. But if you let tea get cold too, in the sense of after you've made it warm and you're expecting that warm tea, that warm coffee, and it's not fresh anymore, it changes. We need to be fresh with the Word of God. We need to see God in a fresh way. So we must be Word infused. So what are the marks of a Word-infused older man? What are the marks here? We see it in verse number 2. It says, the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. So sound in faith, sound in charity, sound in patience. Okay, so what is the older man supposed to look like, act like, live like? What's his character? How should he influence others? I mean, as our character is being influenced, we are able to influence others. So when you come back, let's think about older men for a second. Let's think about them. Now, when I think of older men, I think of maturity, wisdom, patience. Sometimes, but not all the time. You can also think of it like this. This isn't automatic. This isn't just once you get older, all of a sudden you're going to have maturity, you're going to have wisdom, and you're going to have patience. It just doesn't work like that. It's something that you have to work on and allow God to use in your life. But as you see this and you see, okay, how would you describe an older man? An older man, you can think of it this way. And as I age, things tend to change. And you say, oh, yes, you're just a young pup, so what are you talking about? But you still experience this. Okay? When you become older, life starts to happen. And you start having these aches, pains, decreased energy. You move a little bit slower. You have diminished vision or hearing. Sometimes depression. You have hopelessness at times. Cynicism. I mean, the older we get, the changes seem to roll in. And it becomes harder and harder to accept some of these changes. I mean, how many times do you hear from an older man, well, that's not how we did it. It's not how it used to be. We've done it this way year after year. Why does it need to change? I mean, if you'd only go back to the olden days, man, if you just knew what it was like back in the olden days. As we come back into this, you start to see a very, very much, sometimes as you talk to older men, you'll find a greater critique of younger people. In fact, that seems to be all that they do at times. They say, is this what you're just trying to do, is complain about older men? Okay, well, again, I've been classified as an older man, so am I talking about myself? Yes, as I grow, I tend to become more critiquing of other people and how they do things. And even in my mind, I have to block it out in my mind and say, hey, don't go to those immediate thoughts of complaining and critiquing of the way that other people do things differently. But as things begin to change, life can become less of what we expected it was supposed to be. And we become creatures of habit. Well, this is the way that I've always done it. So why would I have to change? I mean, especially right now, some people are saying, I'm used to being in those pews. Why am I at home? I mean, I can't do this. I'm not going to do it. I won't watch this because I can't be in those pews. This is not the way that we do church. Well, This is something that has to change for a hopefully short period of time. That's what I'm looking forward to, just being a short period of time in a reconnection service. But again, as we get older, we tend to take change harder, and we get these, we become creatures of habit, and the longer the habit continues, the more entrenched we become in those habits. Sin can become so habitual that often people will start looking at that sin and not classifying it as that sin because they've been doing it for so long. They just excuse it. Well, I'm older and it really doesn't matter anymore. I've heard this several times, and it makes me laugh, actually, about how some older men will just invite an older woman to live with them without being married, and they say, well, we're not in it for the fleshly stuff, we're too old for that. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. What about reputation's sake of those that are watching you? They're looking and they're seeing that you're living together, even though you might be 50, 60, 99. They're still seeing it happen. And if you're not doing it the way that God wants you to do it, If you're not doing it the way that God has set it up, just because you get older doesn't cancel out the fact that you have to follow God's word. And so, and just because you're past the teen years and the 20s and the 30s and you're past all that doesn't negate what God says in His word. So when you get to it, I mean, you see one side of the equation where you see some men that are older. And they're mature spiritually, and wise and patient and discerning, and you can look up to them, but then you can also look at the other side of the equation, and they could just be old and grumpy and nobody wants to be around them. They're focusing on all the wrong things. They're complaining about all the wrong things. In fact, that's what they're filled up with, is just complaints. How does God describe or want older Christian men to be described? Have you ever thought about that? Not just the way that you feel, the way that God wants you to live. As a Christian, older age could bring greater love for God and for other people. It could bring more of a longing for heaven. But we've got to be careful about that. What, Pastor, you don't want us to long for heaven? Well, we also got to realize that as we long for heaven, we can help others long for heaven as well. Rather than just giving up and saying, God, just take me home. I have nothing else to do here. We've got so much to do. There are so many people that are living their lives in total rejection of God. Atheism, and really atheism is a rejection of God and an acceptance of self as ruler, as authority, as God. And when you come back into that and you're looking through that, the more of what we need right now is older men who are entrenched in the Word of God rather than in bad habits. We need more older men that are willing to affect younger men instead of sitting back and complaining about what younger people are doing. They're actually interacting with younger people and helping them grow. They're helping them live right. Because more and more today, they might have parents, but the parents are just sit-ins. They're not actually parenting. They're seeing it more of a noun rather than a verb, so they need other people to come in, other older men to come in and to affect them and to be word infused so that they can positively affect them in the right direction. So as we come into this, it says, what are the marks that we need to look to, the marks of a word-infused man, as we need to live that out? What are these marks? You see here in verse 2, it says, the aged men be sober. You say, okay, all right, I could stay away from a strong drink. Is that what it means? Well, the root meaning of that does not just mean free of intoxication, although that is the major point of that. But the whole idea of someone being sober is being free from intoxication, but then also being self-controlled, level-headed, balanced, sensible, moderation. Oh man, do we need that in today's world right now? Oh, I walked into Walmart yesterday and almost all the baby formula is gone. I walked over to the toilet paper aisle, gone. You go over to the animal food, it's getting cleared out. People are worried about that. I mean, you go over to other aisles and it's just completely cleared out. Why? Because everybody's panicking. Can we please, as Christians, be the example and not panic? There is a difference between panic and prepared. But when you see the difference here, panicking is not being level-headed. It's a fear-driven word. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what I'm going to do. That is not characteristic of a word-infused older man here. That is characteristic of those who don't believe in God. When you see prepared, you see someone who is level-headed, going in, getting what they need, even as in practical of a situation as this. You just say, okay, I'm going to go and get what I need for my family, and I'm going to walk away and be that example that everybody needs to look to. Not only that, here's another thing that I see a lot of older men freaking out about. Conspiracy theories. Oh, this has to be a government-controlled thing to herd us sheeple into place. Really? That's the thing that you want to run into and grasp a hold of? Please. That's not what people need right now. People don't need conspiracy theories running all over the internet, and people are looking for hope. For hope. They need someone who's level-headed that can come in and just give them the truth. Listen, this is how we're going to get through this. Not freaking out, but trusting in God. This is living out practically. Oh, all of a sudden, the Illinois is trying to control churches. And we're not going to be able to meet anymore. And this is going to be martial law. And all of a sudden, we're going to take all our freedoms away. Okay. Some people might not like me after this. But I'm okay with that because I'm trusting in God. If the government took all of our freedoms away, guess what? We'd be living in the same circumstances as the early Christians. And maybe we'd start getting our head in the right place and start focusing on our faith rather than everything else. Pastor, you're hoping for persecution? No, I am not hoping for persecution. I hate pain. I can't stand it, okay? All right? When I get a cold, I hate it. All right? So if somebody's persecuting me and torturing me physically, I am not wishing that upon anybody. But if I am just worrying and keeping all my focus and panicking on how I'm going to be losing all of my freedoms, guess what? I haven't lost all my initial freedom that God's given me. That's freedom in Christ. And that's what I've got to focus on. I've got to be level-headed. We got to back it up here. Okay, what do our kids need? If our kids are watching us run around like chickens with our heads cut off, wondering what's going to happen, do they really see people having their faith in God? Or is it faith in our government, our money, our circumstances? Go through the list. We need men, women, Christians, to be sober-minded. Let's go into that. There's a few more marks here that we've got to see. We have to see these. The next one is grave. And that doesn't mean that all the older men are in the grave. It's a different term there, okay? So don't freak out about this isn't a term that we normally use, okay? Think about it this way. This is the initial definition or defining of this is means that they are worthy of respect and serious-minded. You say, what are you talking about? People look up to them. They're worthy of respect. Now this is the thing that I hear so many times. Okay, this is what I hear all the time. Well, these kids just don't give me respect. And this is the question that I want to ask. Are you worthy of respect? Now, my kids need to respect adults. They need to do that. And do they do it perfectly? No. Probably not even close. We're trying. All kids need to respect their elders. That needs to be something that we need to teach them. But those who are older, are you even worthy of respect? Have you ever thought about that? Someone that people look up to. I mean, there's certain men in my life where I look up to them. And when I come in with something serious, I'm going to be going to them. I'm going to be asking for prayer. I'm going to be asking for wisdom. Those are the people that I respect. Those are the people that I'm going to call in that situation. And when I can get a level-headed response that's serious, that's what I need in those moments of time. Right now, we as people need level-headed responses that are worthy of respect, that are serious. We need to get serious about what's going on around us. And you say, well, this coronavirus, I mean, it's affected so much less people than the flu. Okay, less people have died than in regards to the flu. I understand that. I understand that there's more abortions every day than more deaths in relation to that than anything that the coronavirus has done so far. Yes, there's stats just like that. But I also look back at the fact that each one of these deaths is someone who's either who might be lost and dying going to hell or have died and gone to hell. I mean, just think about that. Do we lessen their lives? Do we lessen the importance of who they are? I mean, even if you thought of it like this, okay, we're pro-life, right? So how come we aren't pro-life about those that are dying due to this coronavirus? How come we don't care about their lives? We're making light of it. We're making fun of it. We're focused on all the wrong things here in the sense of people need someone to come to. They need a church that they can go to and say, okay, everything is going crazy around me. I need someone to be able to talk to be that's worthy of respect. It's going to listen to me. It's not going to make light of what I'm struggling with. Have you ever dealt with that? Have you ever had somebody come to you for counsel and you've made light of what was their major struggle? What was their weakness? How could they be weak in that aspect? How could they struggle? I mean, I've never struggled like that. Guess what they're going to do? They're going to turn around and walk away because they didn't think that you cared. See, in this time, people need to be able to walk up and sense a level of respect here that you're worthy of respect and be able to talk. See that we are serious about this, that we're not making light. If all those things that are going, there's people lost and dying and going to hell every single day, we're not making light of that. We're pro-life. We're pro-everybody's life. That's what we got to come down to. So we're sober, we're grave, and what's another one here? We're temperate, we're disciplined, we have discernment in how to move forward. There is a matter of discipline that we do need. There is a matter of discernment and just knowing, okay, which path do I take here? Which decisions do I make and how to move forward? And that's something that we've needed a whole lot of, and just making decisions even in this past week, even with our missions conference, how to protect people and help them through this. And even though we want to gather together, is it the best for us right now? And there's a lot of people that might be saying that, well, we're going to, our church is essential. Yeah, church is essential. You're right. You're right. But so are people's lives, and we want to try to protect those too. And there's other Christians that are having their church services as normal. I understand that they want to do that, and I'm not going to argue and fight with them about that. That's their decision. But as the leadership here has decided, we've been searching for that discernment and that discipline and just knowing how to move forward. This is the best way that we feel that God wants us to move forward with this for a temporary time, hopefully longing for that gathering together again. But we need temperate men. We need men who are discerning and disciplined on how they live their lives. Another one, sound in faith. I wrote something down here. Their trust in God has grown, that God has a plan and it will work out. But they need to stop trusting themselves and saying this word, independent. Oh, we love our independence, don't we? Instead, they learn to get on their knees. Huh. Seems to be a theme lately of having the correct posture in this time. Someone who is sound in their faith, having faith in God, getting on their knees, allowing God to do what He needs to do in order to bring us night to Him. Maybe, have you ever thought about it this way? That God has cleared our schedules. Everything that's going on in our life so that we'll actually focus on Him. Is that it? Is that what God's called us to do in this moment? Sound in charity. Love. They love God. They love others. They love those who don't know God yet. They forgive. They share burdens with others. They love the unlovable. I mean, isn't that the temptation that as you grow, you have less and less patience with people who you just can't stand? And since you just get grumpy with people and it's like, well, why aren't they doing it the way that I think that they should be doing it? Have I loved them enough to help them understand that they need to be doing it the right way? Have I exhorted them along that path and actually led them down that path instead of just expecting things to happen? How many times do we as parents, expect things of our children? And yet we can't do the same things that we expect of our children. Instead of exhorting, we're demanding them to do what's right when we're not doing right ourselves. We forget to love the unlovable, but you know, we expect those around us to do it. We have all these expectations of everyone else, and somehow I have excused myself of actually loving other people. Sound in patience. This is when you think of these words together, faith, charity, and there's usually the word hope. I don't know if you've ever seen that trifecta, but faith, charity, faith, love, hope. You say, well, where's the hope here? Well, it's actually linked into this term of patience. Patience is that enduring. It's that enduring life because you have hope in eternity. It's that I'm not going to tolerate what's going on around. I'm just going to be able to patiently endure through what is happening and experience that and to be experiencing our trials and to be experiencing people off of the fact that I do have hope. I'm experiencing this coronavirus and all the things that it's making and that we're being made to do for the sake of looking forward to eternity. This is what we are supposed to have in our lives is our character. Faith, love, hope. But you know, as you see all of these things, I like it how the older men are put first here. Not because we're supposed to be taking pride in that we're men and that we have age, but for the fact that we just need to be the example. We need to lead. We need to take the hits. We need to show people how it's done. And all this character is not just to affect you, but it's supposed to affect all those that are around you. It's supposed to, people are to be able to look at your example and to be able to hold on to that, but then it also can change their lives. I mean, This is the church gathering and affecting one another, but then also in outreach affecting other people. And so when we understand this and our time period and what we're dealing with, you say, well, we can't gather as a people, as a church, because of the rules that have been placed. Well, how can you help others through other creative means? In other different ways that isn't normal for you. Get out of the box that you've placed yourself in. God is enlarging your box. He's giving you other options, other ways to spend your time in being this example for others so that people can look to you in the midst of this chaos. They can have people who are focused on God. People who have hope. People who have love. So as we come down to it here this morning, I would encourage you, if you're a man out there, be the man that God's called you to be. Word infused. So you know, as you look through the rest of this passage, there's older women, younger women, younger men, all the employed, all these people, it's really taking care of everybody in this sense of how the Word of God is going to affect us. And if you want to be a change in this crazy world, you have to have the Word of God. You have to be affected by it. You have to take the time. You have to focus on it. Help others. Be that example. Make sure that you're saved. That's the clinching factor right at the beginning. As I stated earlier, you need to be saved so that all these other things can follow through. You need to grasp onto the gospel. Somebody stated this over social media. If you think it's crazy now, think of the way it's going to be when the rapture happens. Now, I know I have friends that believe differently about when the rapture is actually going to happen. But as I see in Scripture, as what I've seen, I believe it's happening before the tribulation. I'm not going to have to deal with that. I'm not going to have to deal with the tribulation. But I'm hoping to bring as many people as I possibly can with me. Not based on my merit, on what I can do, but based on what Jesus has offered. Have you thought about that? Have you actually heard the good news and been affected by it? Because this is good news in a bad news world. This is what we can hold on to. So let's hope to be thinking about these things as we work through our days, as we work through this shelter shutdown dealio that the government has placed on us. How are we going to live our lives in the midst of this? And hopefully this encourages us so when we do reconnect, that we will never, ever take it for granted that we get to gather together. Never, ever take it for granted. I hope that at the end of this, that these church pews will be full of people. Because I can't wait to gather with these people. And people that aren't Christians, they come in and say, I can't wait to hear the good news so that I can be saved. Man, wouldn't that be an awesome day? And we need to be out and about helping people with that. We need to help them through this. We need to be that guiding light as God helps us down our path. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this great day you've given us today. Thank you for the truth that you have bestowed right in front of us. Help us to not take this lightly. Help those who are totally against you to lighten up. That hearts would be softened to your word, to your gospel. People would take this more seriously. There's a lot of people that are just apathetic. Help them to start caring. Help us not to just excuse our living that doesn't follow after you, but to find an excuse to draw nigh to you. God, we need you more than ever right now. Lord, help us as we interact with you to be able to be filled up with all that you are so that we can then affect others. God, we love you so much. Give us your blessing. As we have opportunities, we have opportunities this next week, even today. In Jesus' name, amen.